This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, JT Noah in for Drew today. Drew will be back tomorrow. He's out on the range getting set for Korn Ferry to qualify.
I hope he's listening today to find out that he's going to be in this whether he likes it or not.
I hope so. We're also an hour away from handing things off to Vern for his on-deck show as he gets you set for Royals Twins series finale this afternoon out at Kauffman's team. Gorgeous day, though. If you happen to have the day off, you're fortunate enough on a Thursday, if you happen to have maybe the ability to have a long lunch break. Maybe you got a sales appointment in the afternoon. Gorgeous day, I think, to be out at the ballpark. But either way, you should be listening to 96.5 The Fan. Don't miss any of the games throughout the season, always on 96.5 The Fan. Tomorrow, Jake Eisenberg will join us for our Friday conversation. He joins us each and every Friday throughout the season. Before we talk some baseball and hand things off to Vern later on this hour, something happened last night you just don't see very often in sports, and it created just an unbelievable moment. I'm talking about what happened in the NBA, and I know we don't usually talk a ton of NBA on the show, but
it's a really interesting sports moment.
It's not often that a star player like Luka, of course, gets traded midseason, and everything that we discussed back when that happened, for those who haven't followed along, Luka was on the Mavs, was homegrown talent for the Mavs, got traded midseason to the Lakers. Just an unbelievable trade. We've never seen really anything like that. And Luka was back in Dallas last night, and they played this tribute video to him. It was extremely well done, and he got emotional, man. He was crying there on the bench before. J.J. Redick, after the game, said that even going back on the court after like warmups, Luka was still emotional. And then, what does Luka do? He drops 45 points. Has his best game as a member of the Lakers. Like, you can't, I mean, of course he did. Like, of course he did. And it made, if you're a Mavs fan, it had to upset you even more. But that whole moment, the return trip in the same season, Luka is now the only player besides Wilt Chamberlain to score 45 points both for and against the same team in the same season.
Well, I mean, how often could that possibly have even been a choice? Yeah. How often is a guy who's capable of scoring 45 points end up on a team that he's not playing for actively in the same year, right?
True.
It doesn't make sense. This was, and I was trying to find, like, sometimes I try not to be like prisoner of the moment or be like hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. I genuinely could not think of a single sports memory that happened like this. I've seen reunions. I've seen people go back to their old team, and I've seen Moose come back to the K as a member.
Brady
of
went back to New England when he was with the Bucs.
Yeah, I've seen moments that, like, in a way make sense, but not when you factor everything in. He didn't want to leave. He is one of the 5 best players in the league. He didn't want to leave. He was crying at the tribute they were offering him. And then LeBron James, an opposing player for the opposing team, was rallying up the Dallas crowd to cheer for Luka. I've never seen anything like it. It was so bizarre. It was like a truly unique sports moment. But in a way, it was almost like I felt like I was watching a car crash. Like, I'm not supposed to, like, am I supposed to look away? Because the whole moment felt very awkward. They're chanting to fire the GM who traded him. They're cheering for the guy who's on the other team. In the meanwhile, he's putting a knife in your team's back the entire time you're watching him play that night. It felt like a bizarro world. It's like a sports moment like I couldn't put a finger on gold because I couldn't decide, like, is this a heartwarming moment for Luka? Is it like the worst moment in Dallas franchise Mavericks history at the same time? What the hell is this moment?
It was,
do you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense together.
Yeah, I mean, you said it felt awkward, but I'll say, like, it did feel like a movie, though. Like, you think about the script of everything that happened. You had the extreme emotions of the return, and then he goes and puts 45 on the board last night against his old team. And I was listening to some of the commentary after from some of the NBA analysts. Over on NBA TV after the game. The game was on ESPN, but still post-game stuff. And they were like, that's that moment. That's when he officially became a Laker last night. Like, you got the return visit done. Now it's go time the rest of your career. Yeah. Like, that sucks. And here, listen, I'll play some of what Luka said in post-game, and he was still emotional then.
Thank you, Luka. Just, you said that you didn't know what your emotions were going to be like tonight. Just what were you feeling out there on the court?
I don't know, honestly. Everybody saw me the way I reacted to the video. You know, all these fans, I really appreciate it, man. All the teammates I had, you know, everybody had my back. I'm the happy, you know. This guy, I love these fans. I love the city. But it's time to move on.
What was it like for you sitting there watching all that love, watching that video pregame?
So many emotions. Can't even explain it, you know. Brought tears to my eyes. Like I said, I came as a young kid here with 18, and I know what to expect from NBA. And, you know, they made me feel like home, man. It's just a lot of great, great memories.
I saw Mahomes there.
Mahomes was there for the game. Courtside. We know he's a huge Luka fan, huge Mavs fan. Luka fan, yeah. I think, is very important. And you could tell from the crowd that was there. We think about equivalence, you know, and imagine the star player. I mean, if you even want to localize it, like, imagine if Patrick Mahomes, one of the best players, I think in this case, Luka, one of the best players in the NBA, but Mahomes, one of the best players in the NFL, homegrown talent, and all of a sudden, overnight, he was traded. Think about how devastated,
I know,
and upset and pissed off you would be.
And
that's
confused.
That's what just happened. Yeah. That's what just happened for Mavs fans. And then now he's come back in your building, and you still love the guy, clearly.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong to you. Yeah. He didn't request a trade or choose to sign as a free agent somewhere else.
I do think the emotions were also like a chapter of his life is now officially closed. He's now a Laker. Like, you still,
you needed that moment to put it to bed.
Think about anything in your life, right? When you see memories of good times, bad times, whatever, like, and you get emotional, right? You see photos of some great memory you had or whatever with your family or whatever that, you know, that window, that chapter of your life is closed. Like, you get emotional, right? We've all been there before. And that's, we just saw it play out in real time, live in front of millions of people. That's why it was so unique. And honestly, pretty incredible to watch. And then he went and did his thing on the court, and he was so dominant. And, you know, the Lakers, his teammate, they made sure he had a huge night. There's no way Luka was going to play his old team and only going to drop 15 points, okay, or 20 points.
I mean, he did like 40, you know, 10, and 10, essentially.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, right? Wasn't that like roughly it doesn't really matter. It's almost 50, probably, mm-hmm. 10 and 10. So, like, it's not just a game. I mean,
well, he came out of the gate just absurd. And the first half was what was so impressive, too.
It's just like that trade still makes no sense. It's going to go down as the single worst NBA trade. I mean, it could end up going down as one of the single worst NBA trades of all time. And, like, because the draft ones are different, right? You trade Kobe to the Lakers because you don't know, you know, like, he's an unknown player. You knew Luka was a superstar. Like, you were aware of that fact when you traded him.
Crazy.
It wasn't like a mystery or confusion. That was a straight up fact at that time. So it just doesn't make any sense.
Dusty just texted me. He said the comp he gave today was like, imagine if Bobby Wood Jr. got traded and the Royals got Mike Trout back, but, you know, different stages of their career. And then how would you feel? Like, that was the comp he gave today. Yeah, I mean, just it's hard to fathom. Those are the closest you could even try to even comp out.
Yeah, but like have to be secretly, like, they didn't request
There was no
rumor that they wanted out. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're just gone. And like Luka, I don't know. I still think he wishes he was a member of the Dallas Mavericks secretly. But like now he's got to be a Laker, and he'll learn to love LA and all this stuff. And it won't be, you know, like,
especially if he wins a championship.
And they got a pretty good chance,
don't they?
They
clinched a playoff spot last night, officially, I think.
Between LeBron and Luka, you'd think together, were they third in the West right now, last I saw?
I don't know for sure.
I think it's right around there. That was, some of those games were before Luka Doncic showed up. So it's just a weird, it just felt like a really, truly unique sports moment, but not like all happy or all sad, just some weird, like, mixed pot of all of it. And it didn't, like, and usually they have, like, one emotion tied to them or one logical. It's both, like, a horrifying moment if you're a Mavs fan. But a cool moment if you're a Mavs fan, but like a weird moment if, like, I don't know.
I would have woke up today even angrier. I would have woke up, if I was a Mavs fan, I would have woke up today, like all the emotions you had the day he got traded, and then like you're still upset, but like you distance yourself for what? Then his return brought back all those memories for you as a fan as well. Then you see him kick your team's ass and you know where you're at as a franchise now. No, I would wake up as a Dallas Mavs fan, and I didn't listen to any sports talk radio there today, but if I did, I would imagine they're all fired up and upset.
Yeah, I'd be mad.
At Harrison, Nico Harrison is the GM, right? Down there in Dallas.
They were chanting to fire him.
Well, they should. They should. It's an inexcusable move.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I mean, still, it's just nuts. We got to get another Augusta leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Do you feel more prepared, JT? Do you feel more confident about your ability to give this?
He just gave us a look like, me? Now?
Right now? I can give the update.
I can do it.
I did the sponsor read part of it.
I did let you do that because I didn't know there was a sponsor, so we're good there.
We're good. Twin Peaks, man. I'm a big fan of this show. They're fantastic, according to Drew.
That's great to hear. Listen, so we have a new leader.
Okay.
All right.
Steven Yeager has taken the lead.
Okay.
He is 4 under.
Nice.
Yay.
There you go. Aaron Rye has moved to 3 under.
Okay.
Moved to 3. That's correct phrasing.
Here we go. Here we go.
Through 11 holes, it appears.
Yeah, he is through 11, and Jaeger's only through 10. So
okay.
All right.
Scheffler is still at 2 under. So no movement from him with through 7. Also, I want to give an update because I know Angel Cabrera was a top.
Angel, that's Drew's guy.
Here we go. Angel.
That's Drew's guy, fresh out of prison.
He's actually 1 under.
So is Fred Couples.
Well, not fresh out of prison.
No, he's at 1 under.
Cabrera's 1 under through 4. Through 4. Wow, through 4. So
Freddie Couples
good.
1 under through 10.
Yeah. I saw he's old. I saw Twitter.
He's like 65.
I saw Twitter. He was like with the fans high fiving. So I did see that guy. Update on my guy that I've been keeping an eye on because he did something again. He hit an eagle this time. Haygaard is now one up. Well, God, one up. I said one up.
No. You're good. Cody, you and I are outright winner.
Yeah.
Morikawa tied for 7th, 1 under through 8.
Okay, I like that. I also have Minwoo Lee to win. So
it's early. The 89th tournament that we can't name.
So you're trying to tell me that this Hogard guy, this is his scorecard.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a wild scorecard.
Not kidding. This is one of the most wild scorecards I've ever seen.
Oh, now he's plus 2. He just bogeyed another.
Bogey, double, birdie, par, birdie, bogey, double, par, double, par, eagle.
And now bogey.
Bogey.
Huh.
What are you doing out there? Like, are you just like...
What are you doing
out
there?
You're swinging the stick and hoping to just like praying wherever the ball goes?
It turns out the course is difficult, which is why you wouldn't break 100 at Augusta.
Yeah.
If you were a normal person.
If you're looking for an update, I encourage you to go to the early part of the show.
The nearest amateur to the top is Noah Kent. He's tied for 58 with being over by 3. 3 over.
Okay.
There you go. JT. We've learned JT is coachable on the fly. Love it.
That was a better one. That was a much better one. He only really has to give one more of it today. So.
That's right.
I know. Should be in good shape. 2-hour show. He was so funny. Drew talks to me. He goes, I messed up. You only have a 2-hour show. I gave you the 2-hour show. I said, it's okay.
That's right. Got Royals baseball on the air a little bit later on this afternoon. Right here on 96.5 The Fan. I think I've decided. I was texting with a friend. I think I'm going to try to go out to the K this afternoon.
You're going
to
go out watching baseball?
Yeah, the weather's great. I think I'm going to go out there a little bit.
It's gorgeous. I bet you can get in cheap.
Tickets are also not very expensive. That is, I was looking as well. So I think I'll make my way out there after the show. Why not? Beautiful day. I love day games. Love day games. Head out to the K.
Is it cheap enough where you're going to be paying for more for parking at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I've heard parking's actually gone up this year. So.
Oh, has it? I don't know about that. Has it?
I have no idea. I've been out once, and it was with my girlfriend's dad, who has season tickets. So
all I know is I can sit downstairs right now for $7. So,
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely cheaper than parking. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, well then, yeah, go to the K. Take JT with you. $14. You guys can sit together.
You're welcome to join. I'm going with somebody else as well. I mean, you are more than welcome to join if you want. All right. Let's talk about something else around Augusta that came up with from Rory McIlroy earlier in the week. And I was trying to like, do you guys care about this or is this more of a media thing? And what I'm alluding to is there's been some controversy around golf in general, like how many players are willing to actually speak to the media after their rounds. And right now there's not a stipulation that requires any of these golfers to talk to the media after the
round
is over. Which is
funny, because we think about sports as like being
in the NFL,
like
there's certain locker room requirements, MLB clubhouse, you know, doesn't mean every player is available after every game, but there's some rules that are involved with media availability. Listen to Rory talk about golfers not being obligated to talk.
Rory, Colin Morikawa caught some criticism at the players for saying he owes the media nothing after he left Bay Hill early. You obviously caught some heat too after doing that at Pinehurst. The conversation after situations like that sometimes is, in comparison to other professional athletes, golfers can be a little more sensitive. I'm wondering if you think that's a fair or unfair assessment.
Well, he's right. Not that I think he could have worded it a little bit better, but look, every other athlete, whether it be in the NBA, NFL, they're obligated to speak to you guys after a game. We're not. So, you know, whether that's something that the PGA Tour looks to in terms of putting that into their rules and regulations, but as long as that's not the case and we have that option to opt out whenever we want, you know, expect guys to do that.
So I think it's interesting because if you're listening, and you guys can text in because I'm curious to get your guys' perspective, because 913-586-7965. Because in general, you might say, like, they don't need to talk to you. Why does it matter? Just remember, some of the stories and the inside everything you get is because players are willing to talk after their sporting event. Like, typically, you're like, well, why does it matter if that athlete or coach speaks to the media? They shouldn't have to do it.
I guess, but it's just part of like they're being paid millions and it's feeling part of responsibility.
It's part of that, but also as a fan, as a sports fan, I actually think you benefit from it as well, right? Like if the information is not out there and you don't hear from your favorite player on your team, let's just use the baseball or football example here locally. If you never hear from Vinny after a game, or if you never heard from Patrick Mahomes after a game, you are also not benefit. You're also at a disadvantage, right? It's not so much, it's not an ego thing like, oh my gosh, how dare this player not talk to X reporter? It's that you, the public, will not have any of the same information or any of the same insight or hear from your play. You know, you lose out as well. That's how I always have viewed it. It's not so much of a, oh, like this one, like this reporter doesn't need to make it about himself. That's not what I'm saying.
I guess in a lot of ways, yeah, it's not about that. It's about like, this is what encompasses being a professional athlete, is that unlike a lot of other jobs, you publicly have to answer for your performance. And that's part of what goes into being paid tens of millions of dollars a lot of times. And like, that's like one of the things that are part of the job. And this is why, like, we cover sports less if we have less access, if we can't, like, you're hurting yourselves in a lot of ways. Like, if I can't hear Rory talk about a thing, well then I'm not going to play that thing. We're not going to talk about it. There might be less ad dollars or so, maybe less people watch or are familiar with the sport. I think they all kind of go hand in hand, but it might be that the regular fan doesn't care. They don't care to hear from Rory after his round. You know, I don't know.
I do understand why I believe in like the whole idea of a cool down period though, right? Like you just shot the worst round of your life. You don't want to have a camera stuck in your face 5 seconds after.
Yes.
Totally understand that. That's why there's a cool down period, things like that. I understand that for sure. But the topic of it, I think it depends on the sport. Like if you're not a huge golf fan, you probably really don't care. If you're a diehard golf fan, if we're talking about the PGA Tour and the way Rory talked about it there, it tells me the fact that he put the pressure on the commissioner of PGA, that tells me that I actually think Rory believes eventually it will become a requirement.
So he might as well just be on the, look, some guys talk more than others. And it's like, someone's pointing out, it's like, well, like when Rory took that guy's phone, it's tough. If you don't think other athletes do stuff like that, I watched Marcus Peters yell at fans in the stands. Dan Hurley does it weekly for UConn. It happens across sports. The interaction with fans, golf is tough because they are on your back. It's like the NBA. It always feels way more personal because they are in your kitchen. They get close to you sometimes. And as a result of that, I think it changes. But I do think it's an important aspect of the sport. And it might be because I'm a media member. I can't admit, but like, I think having to sit up there and explain part of it. And look, it opens yourself up. I don't think you have to just answer whatever call a bad question a bad question, or you have to sit up there. Like, you can be honest and you can be critical, or you can be careful or cautious. You can choose the way you do it, but I don't think it's that big of a deal to have you sit up there and do some media availability, because you're more than happy to do it when you win, but don't want to do it when you lose. Feels cowardly in a lot of ways, Gold. Rory wouldn't have any problem. Any of these golfers wouldn't have any problem doing if they had just taken down the trophy. But now you don't want to do it because you played poor? Well, that seems like you're being kind of a coward about it. Like, you know, you're hiding from your performance, which seems unnecessary.
All right, JT, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
This one goes to Wichita, Kansas. Well, just outside Mays, Kansas. It's basically Wichita, Kansas. Mays, where a fourth grader's in a little bit of hot water, at least with his parents, not with law enforcement. So a concerned citizen called Mays police around 8:10 in the morning to report a white pickup going down the road with a driver who appeared to be a 10 or 11 year old. Officers went to the area of the report, did not find anything. Someone flagged down police and directed them to Pray Woodman Elementary. The boy had driven his parents' Chevy pickup from his home
to
the school, 3-mile trip. Officers went to the school, made contact with the boy in the pickup in a parking stall. Blackburn, which was one of the officers, said the child parked better than most people park.
Not bad.
The boy's short excursion did not lead to any collisions or traffic issues. Police did not write any tickets, adding that he's, quote, in tons of trouble, we're sure, with his parents. They will let the parents handle it. So here's what happened. The kid, he missed the school bus and wanted to go to school. He missed the bus. He said, well, I'll just drive my parents' Chevy.
Okay.
And he drove it down 3 miles and parked perfectly in a stall at the school.
I will say, I don't know where Mays, Kansas
it's
is,
just but outside,
I guess it's somewhat, okay, so a little bit rural.
Kind of. I wouldn't even say that. It's not
suburb
a small town.
Suburb of Wichita?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are some kids just built different? Because I'm just telling you right now, my daughter is 8, almost to be 9, and if you made her drive a car to her school, she'd crash so many times on the way there. How are these kids? And like, I've been behind the wheel of a car, like steered or whatever, or driven it down a hill by like 9 or 10.
How big is
this kid's driving all the way to school on his own? He got himself there too?
I mean, he missed.
Honestly, you should be impressed with this kid. This kid shouldn't even be in trouble, in my opinion, from his parents.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
I mean, he wanted to make it to school. He missed the bus. He said, I'm finding a way to get to school. He took the parents' car. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how tall this kid is. Fourth grader, you're like totally
you be
good.
Kind of tall
can see over, can reach the pedals, all that.
Unless it's like a column shift.
In a Chevy truck, it might have been.
If it's a column shift, he could handle it a little bit
How's
easier.
How's he touching the pedals and still seeing, though?
Well, he might be able to brake and gas and then pop himself back up as he's coasting.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying that's a little bit easier.
He parked perfectly. There's some bad parking jobs we've talked about in our parking lot here.
Tons.
The police officers said, yeah, he actually parked better than most adults.
I mean, there's just no way my kids could drive a car. Like, not even a chance. One, the seeing is a huge problem. Both my kids are kind of short for their age, so there's just almost no way it could occur.
Normally we don't take trash of the day suggestions in the middle of trash of the day, but this one is unique. From the 816, I have a trash of the day. I work for a local police department. Yesterday, a parked car on the road was loaded with flies. We found a dead dog inside.
What?
Went to the owner's front door of his apartment. It smelled awful up there. He said he kept his dead dog in the apartment for 2 weeks. The smell got too bad. He took it to his car. What is wrong with people? Go take it to the vet and go through the normal process.
Or bury it.
Or go through the normal process. You know, eventually they'll cremate the dog or whatever. Your dog was dead in your house for a week or so.
And you thought, this stinks. I'll just move it in my car.
And you you just abandoned the car? That's messed up. Ooh.
That's horrible. That is so bad. And I've just went through a tragic passing of my puppy. So like, I couldn't even.
You're like, could you imagine doing that to your dog?
Oh no. God, I was already crying when I was at the ER.
Yeah, people pointing out that maybe it's a farm kid. Someone said 913. My 9-year-old can drive. She's a farm kid. 785. Farm and ranch country kid driving trucks through pastures.
I hear you, but like Mays is not. Trust me, I lived in Wichita for a little while. Mays is not like some small town. It's a suburb of Wichita, but it's not just a bunch of farmland.
Maybe he works a farm just outside.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe just kind of grew up in that. Maybe the look, my parents let me get behind the wheel of a car earlier than I probably should have been, especially depending on the setting. But like, I don't know, man. The kid went to school. What do you want from him? Yeah. He didn't skip school.
He didn't.
You and I had to skip school. Missed the bus. Oopsie.
Yeah.
Guess I'm not. I wouldn't have thought to drive or I'd have walked, I guess.
So my question with this is, he misses the bus. He goes home, grabs the car keys for his parents' truck, drives. The parents were, they were at work, but they left the car. Where were the parents?
Maybe they just didn't notice. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
What happened there?
You know, right with the keys? I'm not even sure. Like, my kids know how to start. I mean, now it's push button, right?
Do they know to put the foot on the brake to get the push start to work?
Probably not.
Yeah, so that's the only thing.
And I, you know, I'm not going to show them because they don't need to know that. They don't need to know how to start or run the car.
Yeah, I'm just confused where the parents were, I guess.
Have you ever even thought about, like, when you were a young kid like that, do you even think about, like, joyriding in a parent's car?
Oh, I'm sure I thought about it. And I never did, but I'm sure I thought about it.
My sister got busted joyriding a car and, like, drove through a neighbor's yard and all this stuff. And then the cops went to the door because, like, I think she got spotted in some way, or they got the plate or whatever. And she answered the door for the cops. You're like, well, that's foolish. Try to pretend that she was in the shower, whole thing. You're like, they're not buying any of this. They know you took, and it was one of my, it was like a parent's car. One, like, she didn't steal a stranger's car, I guess. So you're in slightly better shape than had you taken somebody else's.
Huh. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But because we have a shortened show and we've got baseball coming up, it'll be a mix. I'll be honest. It'll be a mix of Royals and Chiefs, including an unbelievable stat that tells you about the development of Royals pitching. Coming up next.
Come in. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but we're going to mix in some Royals. We're 25 minutes away from handing things off to Vern for his on-deck show as the Royals wrap up their series this afternoon, a little after 1 o'clock against the Twins right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll get to a little draft discussion, maybe another mock draft sounder as well. I don't know if JT remembers where the tornado siren mock draft sounder is, but...
Might not have time. He's got to do another Masters update. He's a busy man.
We got a lot going on today. JT filling in for Drew, producing. Drew will be back tomorrow. But I actually do want to start with the Royals, though, since we are going to hand things off to Vern here in a little bit. And the stat that we discussed from Nick Capel over at the Royals, which tells you in one different way. I mean, there's a bunch of different signs of this, but it's a different way of looking at why this regime has succeeded in what they're doing at the pitching level. In 57 Royals seasons, there were 10 games in which pitchers recorded at least 12 strikeouts and no walks. And that was two nights ago when Cole Reagans did it. Five of the 10 have come since 2023, since Brian Sweeney was the pitching coach, since J.J. Piccolo was the general manager.
Lugo and Reagans and whoever.
And some of it is just talent, no doubt.
They've had good pitchers before. This is like the first time in their history.
Now, Cole Reagans is awfully special. I think it's very clear. We mentioned he's a Cy Young candidate. He's got the fourth best odds already to win Cy Young. Last year, he was top five in strikeouts. He just, as we just said, he came off an 11 strikeout performance the other night. What that stat tells us, other than just using your eyes and watching what we've seen, it's another belief that this group right now, and whether it's bringing in major league talent, hopefully eventually we're going to find out minor league development and prospects that come up to the big league level. They've got the right people in charge to teach, right? To develop pitching. It sure looks like that. That's not something we've been able to say very often in the past.
No, I can go through a very long history of excellent pitchers that the Royals have had in their history, including Cy Young winners, Brett Saberhagen and Cone and Greinke and a bunch of others. Great pitchers. The fact that this is just happening now, when, by the way, previously, that means in their history, it's happened zero, and I did the math, 0.0001% of the time, and now it's happening at like 2% of the time, which that is a massive difference in frequency, is because they finally understand pitching. This is why they were a laughingstock of a franchise for so long, honestly. They never understood pitching. They either didn't know how to develop it, didn't know how to use it in the major league level, didn't know how to recognize talent of pitchers on the other level, had bad pitching coaches, I think, for huge chunks of that time, including an awful one before they made the switch to Brian Sweeney, one of the worst in baseball, genuinely. Their ability as a franchise to understand and learn pitching is the single most confidence-building thing I have in this franchise's future out of any of that. That stat points to it. They're finding talent. Reagans and Lugo and so many others. And they got guys pitching in the minor leagues who look like legitimately could be good. They're finding talent in Bubich and Lynch and making those guys work, even if they weren't maybe the right picks at the time. Sweeney is getting the most out of the pitching staff. They have the number one ERA in the entire American League. They have the starting pitcher, Chris Bubich, has the lowest ERA out of any qualified starter in baseball. Wouldn't matter if they were qualified or not. It's 0.00 after they took an earned run off the board for him. They are making some of the same pitchers work to a high level and then identifying the guys they need in order to make it work even better. This is the best thing they're doing as a franchise. Even better than finding some of the other talent or some of the other players who fit in. Pitching will keep you relevant forever.
Yeah, it's why they're 6-6 even right now with as bad as the offense has been 12 games in. Without pitching, obviously, they would not be sitting at 500 and in second place in the division. And if you're looking at what you want to count on, for those that are skeptical, the pitching could fall off. This is another reason why that will be there. Now, is Chris Bubich going to have a zero ERA? Of course not, right? Is Cole Reagans going to have 11 strikeouts, no walks every time out? Of course not. But in terms of what you're going to get out of the pitching staff, and now I'll include the bullpen for what we've seen too, those things I'm not worried about. It is, can the offense get going at all this season? One, it'll be better than what it is right in the second, but to what extent? They're 21st right now. Is it better as in they only become the 16th best offense, or is it better that they can get towards the 12th best offense? That's really, there's a big difference between 12th and 21st.
Yeah. But being 16th, if your pitching staff's going to look like this, earlier someone said, well, what if the pitching staff has a bad week? I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm just saying that is statistically far less likely to occur than the offense not coming back up to its normal levels. Mikel Garcia is not going to lead the team in home runs. Vinny's not going to hit 170 on the year. Some of the things that are happening right now offensively will not hold. They will eventually find some other levels.
All right, JT, he has found...
He found a mock draft?
A mock draft. You got one or I got one? You tell me. You have one ready to roll? Okay, I've got it. I got it. It's the mock draft.
Who's yours from?
This is from Sports Illustrated. I brought this one up because you know I can't stand the mock drafts that have trades.
So this one has a trade?
This one is an old trade mock draft, Cody.
Oh, God.
It's nothing,
so even the number one overall pick?
It's nothing but trades.
Oh, I hate it.
Nothing. but trade, so do I. But I'm bringing it up today because it's something different.
And I don't even mind a traded mock draft sometimes.
It's something different today. How about this one involving the Chiefs? So we know they're picking 31. And yeah, I don't like the trade mock drafts typically, but we're going to have some fun with this one. So it has the Chiefs trading all the way up to 21 from 31 with the Steelers. The Steelers trade pick 21.
Okay, can I guess before you show me? I bet they take...
Let me just tell you the trade and then...
Sure.
The Steelers trade number 21 and number 185 to the Chiefs for pick 31 and 66. I don't like the trade to begin with. Let me be clear. I don't want the Chiefs trading up to 21.
Agreed.
Now, who do you guess that they traded up for?
Joshua Simmons.
No.
Loveland.
No.
Damn.
You want one more guess?
Wait, Walter Nolan.
There you go. Third time's a charm. Hey. Walter Nolan.
Come on, three guesses, not bad. Could be any player.
It could. There's a lot of players.
They have the Chiefs trading up
10 spots to get Walter Nolan.
In the deepest defensive line draft of a generation? What sense does that make?
I don't like it, but that's why
I wanted
to bring this one up. Some of the other trades... It's just a first-round mock draft, by the way. Thank goodness. It's a trades mock draft.
I'd be exhausted.
You were wondering some of the other big trades that would happen. In this one, let me go into the top 10. See what happened here in the top 10. From Sports Illustrated, at pick number one, they have Cleveland in this hypothetical trading with the Titans. So the Titans trade number one overall to the Browns for number two, for number 33, for number 67, for number 104, and number 200. It's in the first overall pick. And the Browns trade up and get Cam Ward.
This is like crunch berries, all berries. Too many trades. I don't want it.
In this one, then pick number two would be, of course, now the Titans. They take Travis Hunter at two. The Raiders trade all the way up to number three in this mock draft and get Shedeur Sanders. The Giants trade back. So Raiders in this hypothetical mock draft would trade up to get Shedeur Sanders. The fourth overall pick would be Abdul Carter going to the Carolina Panthers, who trade with the Patriots.
The whole thing's a mess. I like the idea that they're just going with the complete gimmick of it.
The Jets would trade up and get the tackle out of Missouri, Mimbu.
Oh, okay. He's a very hot prospect name, and he's going to go in the top 10, it seems like, almost assuredly now. He was a good player
this
anyway.
This one's crazy. Has the Patriots... who traded with the Panthers earlier, at number eight overall, taking McMillan, the wide receiver. Seems very high to take McMillan. A lot of people think he's fallen.
I thought most people said he was falling.
Ashton Jeansey to the Broncos in this hypothetical mock draft
trade. I don't want, you know what? If he's going to be in the division, I actually prefer he be with the Raiders.
Just because you don't take him seriously.
They're just a bigger joke of a franchise. Yeah, that's it. I think he's going to end up in the division. I told you, he's going to be a Las Vegas Raider. Get used to watching Ashton Jeansey run against the Chiefs defense because... I am 100% convinced that that's the team he's eventually landing with. So they'll probably take like a tackle or something. They won't take a skill position player. My whole thing is based on the idea that Pete Carroll is old and they brought in Geno Smith to win immediately.
Your guy Derek Harmon goes to the Eagles, but they trade up to 28 to get him.
Ah, gross. See, he's going to be so good. He's going to be with the... Anytime the Eagles choose a player, I just immediately assume they're great.
I didn't notice this. This is from SI, but it's actually from our friend of the show.
Wait, who?
It's from Matt Verderam.
Oh,
it's from Verderam.
He did an all trade draft.
Yeah. Or mock draft. Yeah.
Ugh, I hope they don't trade up 21.
They don't need to trade up 10 line. Spots.
In this case, everyone's trading. So like it's way less realistic.
Colston Loveland ends up going to the Colts in this hypothetical.
We can talk more Chiefs here in just a minute, but we do need to get you a Masters leaderboard update brought to you by, that would be crazy. We wouldn't do that at all. An Augusta leaderboard update brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Almost blew that, you know? Good cover. Saved it!
What's going on at Augusta?
Brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Hello, friends.
Oh.
Hey! Oh.
And welcome to Augusta, Georgia, where right now, Stephen Yeager...
Still the lead?
...is 4-under still.
Okay.
Through 12. Scotty Scheffler is in second with 3-under now.
Oh, he's only one shot off now.
Scotty.
With through 8.
It's the only major he's won.
Scotty. Two of them.
I don't know what has happened to Aaron Rye, but he has fallen very fast. He is now 1-under.
Golf happened.
Amen Corner got the better of him.
Apparently hitting a little white ball into a hole is harder than you think. We are still having a big tie right now with 2-under between 1, 2, 3, 4... Four players all tied at 2-under.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask where Drew's guy, Angel Cabrera, is.
I believe he is now par through.
Okay.
He's even. Okay.
He is even through 6.
All right. Fresh out of prison.
He is fresh out of prison. Evan Beck, an amateur, is tied with Cabrera, even through four. And our favorite, my favorite contestant, keeps doing wild things after his eagle.
We're only going to pay attention to him because he's just an insane person.
After his eagle, he decided, you know what? I don't want the eagle, and goes bogey, bogey, back-to-back holes. So
he's only got one hole left on the course. I hope he birdies it.
I hope he birdies. He'll eagle that one, you know. But yeah, so he right now still only has four pars throughout the whole day. What a wild time for that man.
Where's Brooks Koepka? Someone wanted to know. Has he teed off yet?
Brooks
Koepka. Let me see. Let me see
it says he has not teed off.
Okay.
11:50 was his tee time.
All right, 4 minutes away.
Yep.
Getting ready to get a big group off here at 11:50. Henley and Koepka, Matt Fitzpatrick are getting ready to go. Schauffele, Hovland, and McIlroy about 20 minutes after this. Aberg, Thigala, and a couple of others going a little bit later as well. And your long shot guy, Shane Lowry, goes at 12:23.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I can't wait for this afternoon. Sit at Kauffman Stadium, watch the Royals score some runs today. Keep an eye on the Masters leaderboard. Beautiful weather. It'd be like 70 degrees out there. I can't wait. Can't wait for this afternoon.
From 816, Cody, just FYI, Bob was talking smack about your putting game.
Uh-oh.
One, wow. I'm not sure if that is true. Second,
was he?
Has Bob ever seen me putt?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Also, have I bragged enough about my putting for someone to be critiquing of? I've been very open on this show as being a not good golfer. I've never tried to lie about my golfing prowess or pretend to be a good golfer.
I heard that you said you could break 100 at Augusta, though.
I couldn't break. Honest to God, I am not confident that if you put me in master conditions from the... And we got to like... No, I don't think I'd break 200. I do not think I would break 200 at Augusta. I think I'd have to quit. I think they'd have to drag me off. They'd have to clear the course for the whole day. Mm. Do you know what? Like, no one else could even play that day. I'd hold up the entire thing. I couldn't let enough people play through.
I'll go golfing with you guys. Let me drive the golf cart and let me just enjoy myself. Have a couple brews and that's it. That's all. Just let me, you know, and maybe on one hole I'll decide to hit it off the tee. But just let me drive the golf cart and enjoy the afternoon. That's all I need. That's all I want.
We did, for those who missed it, yesterday on the show, Drew said he could break 100. As a result of that, we joked that maybe we could get him in a Corn Ferry tournament. Qualifier. The person who runs the qualifier said they could get him in a qualifier, to which we believe we are going to put Drew in the Corn Ferry qualifying event at Falcon Lakes. We would like to get him in, give him a chance to do it, and find out, put his game against some of Kansas City's best, and a chance to qualify the Corn Ferry. We believe the way we're going to end up doing this is making him like 10 cup style.
Sponsors all over.
Sponsors on a gentleman has kindly offered to print up the shirt with potential sponsors. If you have interest in doing that, shooting a text, Alex and I will respond. We'll give you some emails. We're going to reach out to people as we can. We don't know exactly what's going to work out yet, but we believe it'll just be like NASCAR style. Drew
logo,
bunch of logos and logos all over me as the caddy. And we will just be logoed up on the course. And eventually we can sell those things
That'll
as Cody Gold
garage
sale items.
Yeah. Yep.
So it'll do double good. You will, you know, in a way you'll be donating to charity.
That's right.
By doing this. And we'll just get Drew logoed up because in order to get him in the tournament, it's a $500 entry fee.
Hey.
And we want to pay it because why not?
There's some people who are going to be at that qualifier. Their whole livelihood is on the line. Their whole livelihood's on the line and Drew's going to be sponsored up. There's going to be some 22-year-old that's trying, some young kid out of college.
Someone's going to think he's legit walking in there with a caddy sponsored up. Dude, they're going to think he's good.
I'm like, no, they're going to say, who the hell is this guy?
Who is this guy?
That's what's going to be happening.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Someone says, I also need a caddy gold. I always need a caddy gold. Are you in this thing as well?
Oh, you could caddy for someone else.
It'd be funny if another listener of ours was in this qualifier. Let us know. Tomorrow, full show. Drew will also be back, so we'll talk more about this. We'll also get into what the rest of the weekend could be for the Royals as they begin a road trip after their game this afternoon. But for now, we're going to hand things off to Vern. His on-deck show starts in a couple minutes. He gets you set for the series finale against the Twins right here on 96.5 The Fan.